Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and you may have heard about the stomach-churning racist comments that were purportedly made by the elderly white owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, Donald Sterling. In case you didn't hear the recording, he got mad at his girlfriend, who is of Mexican and Latino descent, by the way, for posting photos on her Instagram account of hanging out with black people, including, of all black people, Magic Johnson, the basketball icon, who, never mind that he owns part of the rival team across town, the Lakers. It wasn't about that. And the way he apparently talked about the players on his own team sounds like a straight-up plantation mindset. Listen to a little of this.
Do you know that you have a whole team that's black that plays for you?
Do I know? I support them and give them food and clothes and cars and houses. Who gives it to them? Does someone else give it to them? Do I know that I have? Who makes the game? Do I make the game or do they make the game? Is there 30 owners that created the league?
I'm not going to bring any black people to the stadium.
Here with me now to discuss this tape is Washington Post columnist and commentator for WTOP Radio in D.C., Clinton Yates. Hi, Clinton. Welcome to WNYC. Thank you for coming on with us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
And listeners, give us a call with your thoughts on this, 212-433-WNYC, assuming this tape is authentic. And there is still a question about that, and that's going to be the first thing we discuss with Clinton. What do you think players and fans should do as a protest if this is authentic? And feel free to get creative. The team came out with their jerseys inside out before their playoff game yesterday, and could this, come at a worse time for those players involved in the middle of the playoffs? Or who knows, maybe it gives them a little more juice to go out there and compete. But 212-433-9692, if they came out with their jerseys inside out for a moment and then got to the game, what'd you think about that? Was that enough? What should anybody else do? What should the league do, where, after all, most players are black and the team owners are by and large white? What does it say about the league that it tolerates people like this, because they're saying this is not the first time that there was a Donald Sterling outburst of this sort? So give us a call, 212-433-9692. What should you do? Get creative. Feel free to have fun with this, although the bottom line issue, of course, is not at all funny. 212-433-9692. So Clinton Yates, assuming this tape is authentic, and we should point out that his girlfriend is involved in a lawsuit with the Sterling family, so she's got her own motivations here. They're accusing her of embezzling over $1 million. What do we actually know happened here?
Well, what we know about Donald Sterling is his history as a landowner and, as some would say more callously, a slumlord in Los Angeles. He's had a longstanding, he got sued by the Department of Justice and paid a settlement in which the admission of guilt wasn't there, but he paid a settlement that showed that he was actively discriminating against blacks and Latinos at his apartment buildings in Koreatown. And if you think about just what that is on its own, and the fact that the NBA knew this, understood this, and allowed him to continue unfettered in his ownership of an NBA team, it points you to how the major structures of power really, really work. There was no real system to get this guy out. And the bottom line is that he was emboldened in his behavior of discriminatory practices that didn't even have anything to do with basketball. And if you get to the basketball side of things, all the stories about the things he said in locker rooms, the way that he's treated women, which is not to be forgotten here. This guy is a known, misogynist on a very basic level. All of that stuff was emboldened here. I don't think that you can say that the NBA tolerated it. I think that that is a much, much too mild way to put what's happened. And, Adam Silver, who's now the commissioner of the NBA, got in front of the world and talked about what the potential legal ramifications of this are down the road. But David Stern, who just stepped down from his position as commissioner, who was there the whole time, he's a guy you have to look at in this scenario and you say, why did you let this happen for so long? And why did you allow him to be the man that he was in such a public position if you knew he was the face of, he was part of the face of your organization?
More details on the on Donald Sterling as landlord. He settled with the Justice Department a $2.73 million settlement when it found that he refused to rent apartments to blacks and Latinos, saying he preferred Korean tenants. And in March 2011, he won a lawsuit filed by the Clippers' former GM Elgin Baylor, who sued Sterling unsuccessfully for wrongful termination related to age and race. So he successfully defended that, but was accused of that, but did pay a $2.75 million fine when he settled on refusing to rent apartment to blacks and Latinos as a landlord in Southern California. Well, let's take a phone call, and we'll take it on from there. Jose in Jackson Heights, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Hi there.
Yeah, my opinion is that, I mean, what he said, if he is the one in The Voice, it's about taste, but nothing racist on that, you know? I mean,
it's about bad taste, but not racist.
Everybody has the right to work with people with different colors, and if you don't like one kind of people, you say it, and that's it. What racist on that? That's just natural.
Now, that's called discrimination, and there are laws against that in this country. I mean, I don't think it makes sense at all to look at it as him just sort of picking and choosing when he has so outlandishly and so obviously been discriminatory in his practices. I mean, I guess in some sort of Pollyannish world, you can just say, oh, he just happens to like certain people. But I mean, the evidence states, you know, the casual evidence, not in the court of law, that this is just not, that's not a realistic view of what's happening here.
Tell us more of what he said. We had a little piece of it in the clip that we played. How much more was there? Because we have a number of people calling in and saying, is that it? Is that all there is? It's just that little thing?
No. Well, I mean, what he said is, I mean, it's sort of a longer explanation about why he doesn't want her affiliating with black people in public. And this is where the whole notion of the plantation politics come in. This is a woman that, again, presuming this is him on the tape, that he apparently had some sort of romantic relationship with. So he obviously had no problems being involved with her in that manner, but for whatever reason doesn't want her to affiliate with people he doesn't deem, you know, worthy enough to come to his games, whom he also employs in a manner that make him money. So, you know, you have to think about how all of that sort of revolves around one another. And he says at one point, you know, I don't want this to change. I'm sort of, and he indicates that there is a certain fear of his own feelings, which is that he's afraid to not be racist because he doesn't live in a world in which that doesn't automatically benefit him. And that in itself is a frightening concept if you really think about, again, how the power structures of this country work, where a guy like that is emboldened and it makes sense for him to operate in discriminatory manners because it makes him more money.
Is there any evidence that he discriminates in his basketball ownership? That is, does he shy away from hiring black players any more than any owner does, or at all? Does he actually discriminate when it comes to ticket sales against black fans? Is there any actual discrimination there as opposed to what the caller says, his attitudes?
You know, that's difficult to say, but I don't know. I think that that's a very sort of, I'm not going to say small-minded because I don't think it is. I just think it's a very hyper-singular way to look at what is discrimination. If you are hiring black players and as a result you are dehumanizing them in the way that you are treating them as employees, as far as I'm concerned, that qualifies as discrimination. You look at a guy like the story of Baron Davis, known as B. Diddy in some circles. He was a good ball player from LA. You know, he went to his team, he played for the Clippers, and he said that Sterling would routinely show up as and heckle him specifically, one of his own players. You know, this is the kind of thing that he did to people in his own organization. And if you're in a league which is majority black, like, are you necessarily specifically discriminating against a certain person? No. But are you practicing and engaging in a mindset that makes a certain type of people feel disrespected and dehumanized? You know, to me, that still qualifies as discrimination.
Alfred in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Alfred.
Good morning. I'm just furious at the fact that the NAACP sees some kind of justice in this man for him to come up a second time to be awarded for humanitarian reasons is just blowing my mind. I'm just trying to get over the fallout beyond what he represents.
Yes, so another complication in this story, not the NCAA, but the NAACP, about to give a second award to Donald Sterling. How do you understand the context of that, Clinton Yates from WTOP?
He gives them a lot of tickets. I mean, that, again, this should help you understand.
Gives them a lot of tickets?
How the power of privilege works. When you give and you have enough money, people whom you are actively working against in terms of their overall mission statements are willing to honor you. This is how the system is set up from a basic sort of standpoint of the American economy dating back centuries. And I think that you have to look at this in this way. I mean, it's not – the point here is not to equate Sterling to a slave owner. That's unfair. That's unreasonable. And that doesn't make sense. But the mindset of how the American economy works and the way that you utilize your assets and the way that you manage what you can possibly do, it is still aligned with the way the plantations operated. And this is – in this scenario, for the NAACP, this is not the first time that they were planning – to honor him, you know? And so you just have to think, like, this guy basically had enough money to find a way to get honored by a group that he knew was going to make him look better in public.
Yeah, but what does that say about the NAACP, which, by the way, did rescind the intention to issue him another award yesterday after this tape became publicized? But what does it say about the NAACP? I mean, they would probably really object to your previous answer and say, no, we are not that easily bought by a racist.
Well, I'm fairly certain the NAACP has also given image awards to R. Kelly, who's, again, sordid history with God knows what, is very well known in history. So, you know, I'm 33 years old. I obviously respect and recognize the importance of what the NAACP has been over the course of, you know, many lifetimes. But at this stage, I'm not sure that anybody would really consider them that relevant in terms of what they're doing. And that's not a slander on them. That's just a matter of sort of where we've come as a society.
Tedla in Flushing, you're on WNYC with Clinton Yates from The Washington Post.
Good morning, Brian. Donald Sterling remarks. For me, the young person who taped this conversation with him has done, she is also partly to be blamed for that. Why? Because she has a relationship with this old, arrogant man for some reason. He says whatever he wants. And if we go on taping conversation privately, I can assure you, Brian, most of the people, for some reason, they don't want to associate with a dark-skinned person or this race or whatever. They will be in trouble. But if you see any the black organization awarded this gentleman, let me call him a gentleman, so there must be something for him. So I don't hate you, but I don't want to associate with you. That is the bottom line. And he also said about black Jews on the tape I heard today. And he said that black Jews in Israel are treated like dogs. He said that I'm not making it up. That is the way it is. So the person is speaking something. There is some truth in what he says when he says something. But the problem is that he's rich. He believes that he can say whatever he wants. And sadly, somebody who trusted him, close to him, taped this thing.
Yes.
And she has some agenda behind it. So it's all a mess, Brian. For me, race is a bad thing. But unfortunately, we see it in college campuses. Kids cannot want to be sitting in a lunch table with another person. This is our culture over here. But somebody blew it up today. And sadly, it is in basketball arena where it has big money, so we have to shout. But otherwise, for me, this is a racism. This is not bigger than anything else. So what can we do about it?
Ted, well, thank you very much. Clinton, go ahead.
What I wanted to say about that is, you know, one of the interesting things to me about this is that Donald Sterling really doesn't view himself as a racist, at least if that's him on that tape, that's what he said. And if you look into the mindset of that, which is that he believes if he does certain things for certain people, which is in this case, gives them food and housing and clothes, which is just outrageous on a different level, he doesn't really actually believe that what he's doing as far as it enriching himself is a problem. And that, again, that right. in itself is, it implies a certain level of privilege and history that has allowed him to believe that. That is just
sure.
I mean,
but Tedla brought up two more complications. One, if he said that thing, which I hadn't heard, but let's assume he said it, about black Jews in Israel being discriminated against and treated like dogs, it shows a more complicated mindset. And what about the fact that this conversation was being taped, presumably by his girlfriend who he's having the conversation with. Does that indicate – does that do anything to diminish what he actually said? And do we know if she goaded him into it in some way or anything like that?
I mean, there are legal ramifications to that, as in it might actually be illegal in the context of a California court that she recorded that. But listen, if somebody was speaking to me like that, as far as I'm concerned, I would be the victim. I don't want to get into a victim blaming situation because people sort of presume that what she was looking to get out of it wasn't worthy of what she actually did. You know, if somebody spoke to you like that, Ryan, I would consider that person a problem, and I would consider you a victim just on a basic level of interaction.
Right. And I think
that communication is hateful and it's harmful and it's hurtful.
And I think we have to unpack the motivation of somebody who may be looking to entrap somebody for the reason that they are entangled in a legal case with them. And the fact that no matter what the motivation is, you know, it's often the enemies of politicians, let's say, who leak dirt on them and reveal their scandals. Your friends don't reveal your scandals. Your enemies reveal your scandals. It doesn't mean you didn't commit the scandal.
That's true.
If you did the act.
And the other thing here is that think about the kind of people who are Donald Sterling's friends. If some person is calling him and telling him that his girlfriend is on Instagram with Magic Johnson, who are his friends? What are they about? You know what I mean? And so you have to just sort of understand the world that he lives in is one that just – again, I've said this before. I am fascinated by the minds of the people with the most privilege and power in this country and the ways that they choose to exercise those things. And this is just another scenario where it is legitimately mind-boggling how long and how well he's done it, you know, with this sort of frame, you know, method of operation.
Do you ever ask yourself, if Sterling is this kind of a racist, why does he spend his time owning a team in the NBA? Maybe you should own a hockey team.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of a one-liner, but, you know, I mean, this is my point. He is the kind of person who doesn't necessarily believe that what he believes is problematic. And so I don't think that he has what he thinks is an outright hatred for others. He has what he views as an exploitative mindset. I prefer to make money off of these people, not affiliate with them. And that is, you know, something that a lot of people believe in many different walks of life, not just rich NBA owners.
One more call. Jose in the Bronx. You're on WNYC.
Yeah, hi, good morning.
You know,
I think there are a lot of secondary questions here. What about the girlfriend's motives? What about who this guy hangs out with, et cetera, et cetera? It's clear he's part of the 1%. But I think the real issue is that this guy has a history of racism. And so what I would propose is that while, yes, the players need to take some action and it needs to be a lot stronger than just changing their T-shirts or wearing them backwards, whatever, and some statements, I think it's the fans. I think it's the fans who really have to demonstrate some opposition, because the fans are primarily white. And this is an opportunity for white folks to stand up and say, hey, you know what? We don't really live in a post-racial America, but racism still exists. And now is our opportunity as white people to show solidarity with blacks and Latinos, with people of color, and to say, hey, we will not tolerate this, and we are not going to have any more Clipper games until this guy is gone.
It's a great point. It's a great point. These kinds of things, you know, assuming authenticated and all of that, are not one group's issue because they're the victims. It's a humanity issue. And so it becomes a measure of our humanity, how much white people step up in addition to black people on this. So where do you think it has to go? As if they authenticate the tape, which we expect one way or another tomorrow, I believe Clinton Yates, correct me if I'm wrong, here's the Clippers in the playoffs. So all this attention on this, there's sponsors, you know, of the broadcasts.
Yeah.
There's the white and black and Latino and Asian fans. There's the team. There's the NBA. Where does this go tomorrow if this tape is authenticated?
Well, there's two things. I think they're in for a long legal fight. I mean, this guy is a lawyer. He is wont to be in courtroom litigation situations. So I don't think that you're necessarily going to see this go away super quickly, unless for some reason this situation has actually embarrassed him to the point where he doesn't want to do this anymore. But again, he is an old man. We're talking an octogenarian here, and it is not easy to change anybody's mind, you know, at that stage of life. But the other thing is that, and I don't know, there's a Yahoo.com, I believe it's Adrian Wojnarowski, who wrote a column about, you know, there is an avenue to getting that team away from him and actually selling it to Magic Johnson and his business partners, which is a whole other wild sort of potential sidebar. But I would, you know, you talked about getting creative with this, Ryan, which is, I would love, the thing I would actually love to see the most, outside of my Wizards winning the championship, which is a different story, if the Clippers won it, what they do at the end of the NBA championship, obviously, is the commissioner hands the trophy oftentimes to the owner. It would be really interesting to see if the Clippers won the NBA title and simply abandoned their owner on the podium and did not stand with him if they won the title and said they're doing it for themselves, not for their owner and not for anything else. That would be a very interesting scene, and I think it would be actually a major, major moment in American sports if that were to happen.
Getting creative. Well, slipping in is Washington Wizards fandom. You homer? You homer?
Hey man, I'm out here for these Zards, House of Zards.
And this is not about John Sterling, if you just joined us, you know, the Yankee announcer who makes all those corny jokes. It's about Don Sterling, the owner of the L.A. Clippers and the things he was apparently caught on tape saying. We thank Washington Post columnist Clinton Yates. Thanks so much.
Anytime, Brian.